With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Okay, we're back. Sportive's here. I'm Brandon. Hello. John's here with me. Hi, John.
Hello, Brandon. How are you?
I'm doing well. Chicken's also here. Hi, Chicken.
What is up, fuckers?
We're dealing with some southern Minnesota Wi-Fi right now, so he's here for now. We'll see how long it lasts. We've had a little
I'm
bit of luck.
I'm shutting the video down.
Okay, shutting it down. Let's go underground. I'm going to do the same. We were going to go on and record this to YouTube, but now we're not going to. Maybe next time.
Look at Brandon's picture on Zoom. It's amazing.
Isn't that incredible? It doesn't look anything like me. So I got a corporate photo done, and
yeah,
the wonders with Photoshop. It's become a running joke at the office of like, did you pay this photographer extra? How did you do this? Like, it's become a thing where, you know, if I put it on my LinkedIn and I have to interview and I like pop onto a screen, they're going to be horrified, right? Like, where's the guy that we saw on LinkedIn? Who the fuck are you?
Like, what, you're selling a medical device that in no way works.
No, but you buy it anyway, don't you?
CEO of a medical device that is crooked and fraudulent.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Bullshit my way to $1 billion with that Photoshop.
$1 billion IPO, gone. Never heard from again.
That's right.
Oh, God, I wish. Okay,
this is some great sports content so far.
Really good. episode 343. John, I've got trivia. What area code is 343?
The left field fence at the Metrodome.
Close. Ooh. Ottawa.
Ottawa?
Yeah.
You can't cheat by using Canadian ones.
I don't know. I just Googled 343 and that's what happened.
That's what came up?
Yep, that's it. It's the only interesting thing about number 343. The next question. Go ahead.
I am right in saying that's the distance to left field at the Metrodome, right?
Yep, it was 343 to left. Do you remember center and right?
To right?
Yep.
408 to center.
Yeah, I'm right. Jesus.
That's... 367 to right center. And I'm going to say 379 to left center.
I was going to say 385 to left center, but I'm not sure why I thought that.
By the way, I can't remember my children's names, but all of those facts are stuck.
No,
in my
I
head.
Lost both my kids long ago. They're fine.
Why
probably.
Does Canada have area codes? They got like seven people. They don't need area. Like, your phone number's one. Yeah, and then Gord, your phone number's two. Yeah.
Gord Jr. is three.
Yeah. Milt is four. If you need to get to Kevin, he's five. I don't know why you'd call Kevin, though.
No. Stay away.
Everybody named Stahl, you have to dial 9 and then do an extension after that.
Okay, next question. John, what are you drinking tonight?
I was about to hold it up to the video, but you can't see me anymore. I've got a Topo Chico mineral water.
Not even the sparkling Topo Chico, not even the spiked mineral water. You just going actual regular water.
Just straight up boring actual water.
I'm proud of you. Usually this is a high drinking time when we're in the middle of a snowstorm and snow days and all that other stuff. So well done. Good restraint, John.
This is, I got to save it for when we go to Surly Pizza every 10 years.
Yeah, it's true.
Save my drinking.
That's true. We had a few that night. Man, that was what a time.
What a time to be alive.
What a wonderful time it was to be alive then. Not now. It's not now anymore.
Brandon, what are you drinking?
Well, I have two beers ready to go. I just cracked a Black Stack Pull Tab. And then my next one is going to be Junkyard Brewing Jason Waterfalls. And so I just wanted to say a quick shout out to Black Stack and Junkyard. I think they are I wouldn't want to be too blasphemous on this podcast, but two of the best out there, two of the best breweries out there, I'd say. If you can find, if you can get your hands on any Blackstack or Junkyard, go ahead and do it.
Every brewery and beer now just sounds like a Mad Lib.
Mm-hmm. It's true. Well, Surly won't give us any money. Let's see if Blackstack or Junkyard will. But I'm being honest. I love both those breweries. Chicken, what are you drinking?
Not a thing.
Nothing. You're fully hydrated.
Yep. Yep.
Smart.
Sober and hydrated.
Sober and hydrated. What a...
That's the way we live our lives here at this tough morning. Sober and hydrated.
It's not typical.
Yeah. Gross. Okay. Well, should we talk about actual sports?
Sure.
I really wanted to talk about the Wolves, but do you guys want to start with some wild chatter? Some puck talk?
Yeah, let's do some wild chatter to start
with.
Yeah,
I figured you might
want to
start with
that. Because they're actually playing right now.
Now we're just going to talk about the actual game that's happening?
Yeah. No, they're not playing. I mean, they're not playing right now, but they have played games this week.
They're not in their break. Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Okay, cool. Yeah, well, the floor is yours.
I see how this is going to go. Chicken, I guess the first question is, where are you at with your feelings about Phil Gustavson and Marc-Andre Fleury?
Play Phil. Free Phil.
Free Phil Gus. Forever?
Free. Yeah, I mean, it actually couldn't have turned out much better for the Wild after the way the season started. I think in the offseason, the concern was they are going to have to play Fleury too much, right? Since they got originally the plan was Talbot and Fleury were going to split 50-50. That was going to keep their workload down, and then whoever was playing the best at the end of the season would get the playoffs, and they would take us to a Stanley Cup run, and everything was going to work perfectly. They traded Talbot, got Gustavson. So the concern was, well, now Fleury's going to have to play 80 games. This isn't going to work. What are they going to do? And now
Gustavson was not a top prospect. He was not he wasn't even like a young and up and coming. Oh, this guy had a great season in the AHL and we're taking a flyer on him.
How did we get him again?
Goaltender.
The trade?
Yeah, they traded their goaltender from last season for Phil because the goaltender from last season got pretty mad that they brought in Fleury and then played him all in the playoffs, even though he wasn't very good.
Right. Asked for a trade.
Which was reasonable.
Yeah. Very reasonable point of view.
Better down the stretch. Didn't win. He didn't lose for like 15 straight games. Yeah, and
something
got
like
benched.
That.
Yeah.
God something damn it. Silly. So this just guy comes out of nowhere and he's good.
He's not just good. I mean, he's one of the top goalies in the league the last.
Fucking goalies, man. They're insane.
So when you get a hot goalie, you ride the hot goalie.
Yeah.
Fleury, I'm sorry, you're benched.
Old goalie theory.
So now the concern is how do you keep Fleury, how do you keep him? What games do you play him so that he's
sharp,
kept warm,
fresh,
right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Sharp is a good, is a good.
You know how it is when you're old.
Yeah.
You want to do something athletic?
He's old.
All right.
He's
so you got to warm up for 2 days.
Yeah.
2 days of warming up. Then you play hockey for 10 minutes.
Not me.
And then it's 2 days of cooling down.
I don't stretch. John, have you ever seen a cheetah stretch before it catches a gazelle?
No, he just goes.
There's
no warm ups. Just go.
I don't stretch.
110% right out of the gate.
This is random, but one time I think I was watching Kent Herbeck outdoors. Because I love Ken Herbeck, and Torrey Hunter was on there. And Hunter was talking about one of his first training camps with the Twins. Everybody on the team was stretching and going through all these calisthenics and stuff, except for Herbeck, who was just sitting off on the side, goofing off or whatever, because he's Ken Herbeck. Yeah. And somebody yelled out, "Hey, why aren't you stretching with everybody else?" And Herbeck yells back, "Does a racehorse stretch before it runs?"
That's right. He's out having a chipwich or something, which are delicious. Like
they are fantastic.
Oh my god!
You know, it's a good joke, and it's also true. I don't actually. Mm-hmm. I don't think stretching means anything because of the racehorses and the cheetahs.
I think you're right.
Who to stretch?
I don't remember the question. Goalies, hockey goalies.
Yep.
Yes.
He's old. You got to keep Fleury loose somehow.
Yeah.
Keep them engaged.
So that's the concern now. But this is working out pretty well. I'm on the Gus bus.
Okay. How long have everybody else is on the Gus bus now as well, right? It's become pretty full. How long has the Gus bus been at capacity? Is this a Johnny come lately deal, or has it been ramping up most of the season?
No, I built the Gus bus back in August.
You built it in August. All right. Gotcha.
From the chassis. Yeah.
And it was just just driving around lonely.
Stu and I. Just
you and Stu listening to a little Waylon Jennings. Probably.
Yeah, I'm always on board.
Gotcha.
Philip Gustafson, what is he, Swedish? Finnish? Swedish?
Swedish, I think.
ABBA?
Swedish sounds right. He doesn't listen to Waylon. He listens to ABBA. Mm-hmm. So we had ABBA going on the Gus bus.
Britney Spears, when she hired that one Swedish pop star guy.
You saw that same show where it's all about, they were, all those songs are produced by the same Swedish people.
Yep. Just a few people just sitting in there, just banging out hit after hit.
Yep. And cooking, making borscht. No, that's Russian.
No.
Making pancakes.
I mean, it's closer than here, so maybe they're making the pancakes. Yeah. That's right. Anyway, goalies.
Yeah, I think the Gus bus reached capacity the other day when the Wild played Colorado and they outshot him like 40-10 or something like that. But Fleury gave up 3 goals on the first 8 shots or something like that, to the point that Fleury gave up goals on 2 consecutive shots. And then somebody dumped one in from center ice and Fleury stopped it and the whole crowd went nuts and cheered him.
Oh, no.
And he had to leave at the crowd. Yeah, that's that's a low point for everybody.
Yeah, I would just do one of those live shifts as a goalie. Just start skating really hard toward the bench and hope the other guy's ready for you. If I was that embarrassed, I'd be that embarrassed. Does that
just
happen?
Do a line change.
Line change as a goalie. Like, what the fuck's he doing?
The same kind of thing happened to Patrick Waugh a million years ago when they left him out there to give up a billion goals and the crowd was cheering him every time he saved. And, you know, he waved at the crowd and then he went off the ice and told the GM, this is my last game here in Montreal. I'll never play here again. Trade me. And they traded him to Colorado.
I want you both to prepare your minds. Now, Brandon, you're not going to care, but John, I want you to prepare yourself for the inevitable. When the Wild make the playoffs, Fleury's starting, and this town's going to go apeshit. Brandon, the best way I could explain it is last season, suspend disbelief for just a second. Uh-huh. Let's say the Twins made the playoffs last fall.
Yep, I'm there.
And Rocco's game one starting pitcher, Emilio Pagan. Like, you would be like, what the fuck? You're like, what are you doing? Fleury's going to start game one of the playoffs, and this town's going to go apeshit. And Dino's, it's going to be crazy. I'm just preparing you, John. This is something that's going to happen.
Dino really is, in terms of sort of the old school mentality, and he's sort of hockey Mike Zimmer to me. He's angry. He's scratching
better
guys
dresser.
For no reason. Better. Well, I mean,
but no, it's not a perfect analysis. No, but I know exactly what you mean. He
a gruff.
We called exactly what was going to happen with Marco Rossi. Mm-hmm. So he makes the team out of camp.
Yep.
They play him with fucking basically the Hanson brothers. He plays 6 minutes a night with the Hanson brothers.
Yeah. No time on special teams.
No, he's killing penalties for 6 minutes a night with the Hanson brothers. And then Dino's like, he's just not providing any scoring.
Yeah. He's opening the door on the bench 55 minutes a night. And the other five is out there taking faceoffs in his own zone.
He's just
not doing it. It's really his
Gustafson,
fault.
Him and the backup goalie are on the bench playing fucking euchre.
Yep.
And then they're mad that he doesn't play defense well enough and he's not scoring. So then they send him to Iowa and we haven't seen him since.
Right. And they keep, every time somebody mentions it, they can't score 5-on-5. They can't score any goals. They score one goal and then it's just like, well, hope we can win this 1-1-0. And Rossi's down there scoring goals in Iowa, and they're like, "Well, we just don't think he's ready. We brought him out. We brought him along a little too fast.
We don't ever want him to go back. When we bring him up, we don't want him to go back. Blah 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 blah."
Stupid.
So anyways, yeah, Dino is very old school. He's very Zimmer-ish. He's a very Yo-ish. He defers to the veterans, and it drives me crazy. But
you hate that shit.
They are, what were they on the homestand? 7-game homestand?
Well, they won. They finally won a couple in regulation. They went an entire month without winning a game in regulation, which is awful.
Mm-hmm.
And then these last two, they finally won 2 in regulation. So I think they ended up getting 4 wins. 2 of them were in the shootout, I think.
Something like that.
Yeah. So they got, it was a 7-game homestand. I think they got 9 points. Not great.
Could have been worse. But, not great.
Not great, could have been worse, could sort of define the whole Wild season at this point.
Not most great. Of their,
could
most
be worse.
Of their franchise history.
Yeah. I looked up their playoff odds. Do you want to guess? Playoff odds.
63%.
71%.
76. God, you guys are pessimists. 76.
Wow. Way better than that. Can't. Wow. Really?
Wow.
Stu's here, so I don't have to wince when I tell you it's from 538. It's a website of predictions. He hates it.
Why did. Wait, Stu hates.
Stu hates predictions?
Yeah, he doesn't like the guy who runs it. It's Nate Silver, that statistician guy who now is like, seems to be a little bit more of a pundit. And he's just said some dumbass things once in a while, apparently, and Stu doesn't like it.
He hates a statistician?
Yeah, because the statistician is now into being more of a political pundit.
Oh, he gives political opinion. Ah,
a little bit of an opinion here and there. And
got it.
Not up Stu's alley, apparently.
Got it.
This is Stu talking, kind of.
That's fair. No, it doesn't, man. Whatever.
Not me.
Teach their own.
The hockey reference, which was invented by our friend Hans, as you know, has them at 71. So well done, John.
Yep. Get well soon, Hans.
Yep. Get well soon, buddy. So that's my contribution.
All right. Good job.
It's good.
Pretty
useful.
I can tell you, we were talking about the goalies, so I wanted to look up the numbers quick, and I went to moneypuck.com as sort of these goals expected goals kind of things have gotten way better in the last few years. I've been reading
based on, and they can now track what the miles per hour and angle and like where on the goal it hits, and just like in general that usually goes in 12% of the time or something. Yeah,
they've got it's better than it used to be, where it was like, well, we got the shooting percentage and you're probably going to be around 91, so if your save percentage is up above 910, then you must be due for a regression or whatever. But
right.
So according to these numbers, Phil has been saving him about over half a goal a game. Six tenths of a goal every game. Yeah, it's fourth in the league right now for guys who've played 15 or more games this year. Huh. But so, and Fleury is down. He's given up more goals than than he would have been expected to give up. So that sort of tells you where they're at. He's 44th in the league in the same thing. Gus 4th, Fleury 44th. So that's sort of, in a lot of ways, that's the story of the Wild season. That, and there's so many forwards on the team who are doing absolutely nothing right now.
So this goalie, really quickly, sorry, we can go back to the forwards in a second. Is it like just kind of an out of nowhere AAA pitcher who all of a sudden is amazing? Does this feel like, oh, this is just our guy from now on? Or is it just, again, hot goalie? That's kind of as far as we're going to take this.
It feels, I mean, I don't know about you, Chicken, but it feels to me more like, oh, this AAA pitcher has thrown 3 shutouts in a row.
Right.
He must be amazing.
Boof Bonzer.
Boof Bonzer.
Yes. Hockey Bonzer. Hockey Boof.
Boof Gustafson.
What the scouts will tell you is that Gustafson always had the tools. He just never put it together.
Right.
Now, you hear that about AAA pitchers, though, too, is my concern.
True.
So I don't know quite. I mean, you never know what to believe, right?
Yeah.
It's not perfect analogy with baseball, just because in baseball you can be in the minors for 4 years and put up numbers, and you can compare that to history and say, okay, and you know miles per hour, how hard they throw, and all
right.
of these things that can give you a sense of where they live in the prospect spectrum.
Mm-hmm.
Where goalies, it's you have no idea what you have.
Goalies is still a lot of like, oh, he looks quiet in the net. I think that's good. Or maybe he's slow and it's not good. I'm not sure if it's good or not.
He was on nobody's prospect radar forever. So I guess it feels way more like a minor league pitcher that came out of nowhere.
Ottawa, a bad team with no goaltending, was willing to trade him for a guy in his mid-30s.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Hmm. Well, let's ride it. Okay. On to the forwards, John. Did you have another comment about...
Oh, man. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable the number of guys that you see on the ice every night when you're watching the Wild and you go, man, I feel like I haven't seen that guy the whole game. There's guys who just provide absolutely nothing in the way of offense. And some of them, you know, Brandon Duhaime or whatever, and they're not there to score, but there's other guys like, I mean, even like Ryan Reeves hasn't done anything. He's sort of been the guy who brings the toughness, but it just Fred Gaudreau has not scored any goal. Not that that's any different than usual, but Greenway's been terrible. Foligno's been hurt.
No, Gaudreau had a bunch of goals last year. There's just so much regression. It's kind of the sport of comment, right? Everybody, Wild fans in the offseason, it feels like a lot of them were thinking everybody that had a career year will continue on that pace, and everybody who was bad will get better. And we always express caution when people feel that way, right?
It was hard to look at last year and go, well, I guess Ryan Hartman is going to score 35 goals every year now. And I guess Marcus Foligno is a 25 goal scorer.
That's it. Even Gaudreau.
Yeah, even Gaudreau Greenway, had more than 10.
Yeah, all these guys had certainly regressed.
Yeah, it's rough. They score one goal and then it just starts looking pretty quickly like they're never going to score another goal. Like, they're having trouble even getting the puck to the net. It's awful. It's hard to watch because it just feels hopeless. If the other team scores the first goal, it's like you just want to turn it off and give up. It hasn't been a fun watch to sit down and be like, well, if we're lucky, Matt Boldy will get a good shot off and Kaprizov will score a goal. And that's pretty much it for the night. That's your excitement.
Kaprizov still rules, right?
Oh, yeah. He's still amazing.
He's awesome. He's amazing.
Yeah, he is exempt. He scores every night anyway, somehow.
You tune in for
I don't know
that,
how it's possible.
Right?
Yeah. He's going to score one goal. Ryan Hartman scored twice last night, but before that, the two goals he'd scored since November 1st or whatever were him getting hit with the puck and bouncing into the net.
It sounded today, John, I don't know if you saw, there's some steam about Brock Besser getting moved to Minnesota.
I thought they couldn't get, he's got 2 years left on his contract after this.
I know, I thought the same exact thing. So I looked into that a little bit closer and we can talk about the numbers, but
yeah,
it was today. So Russo has a podcast. He has like five podcasts, but one of his athletic podcasts is with like, I don't know, there's maybe three or four other athletic beat writers from throughout the country or throughout North America that he has a podcast with. And they had Ben Hankinson on, who's an agent, player's agent with Octagon, who's kind of a large sports agency. Right. So they had him on and they were interviewing and asking names and, you know, what does he think about this guy or that guy, but he represents Besser. So, and I thought it was really candid. It was odd to hear him speak that candid. And I thought, well, this has to be a bigger story.
Then Russo, he was literally talking about how Besser should get traded to the Wild.
Yes. And I'm like, what?
That's amazing.
So Russo posted this podcast and I happened to be driving today. And of course today the drive was like 800 hours to get anywhere. So I'm like, okay, I'll click on this podcast. So I'm listening to this and it obviously had just been posted. So Hankinson is talking about, Besser has given us permission to, and the team has given us permission. We're trying to make something happen with the Wild. He'd love to get back here. I'm the Wild trying to make some moves and move some contracts around and see if they can move some players. And I'm thinking in my head, and then he mentioned the numbers. He said Besser makes like 6.5 this year and 6.5 next year, which is obviously a ton. they can make it work this year, but next year they really can't. So how the hell would that even work? But one, it was just insanely candid, I thought, for an agent. I didn't even think that was legal.
Right. He could speak. Did he know he was being recorded?
Right? Yes, I don't know.
Wearing a wire for a podcast.
So then I get home and I'm looking at Twitter, and it was all over Twitter about how Hankinson had said this. I'm like, yes, thank you. That's good, because that's exactly what I thought. Like, why isn't this a bigger effing thing? Well, it was a big thing. I just hadn't been home to look at my phone. I don't know what they would have to do to make that work next year. Who they have under contract that they would get rid of, I suppose. With Greenway.
They'd have to trade Greenway.
But Dumba doesn't do anything because he's not under contract next year. So, Greenway's only like $3 million. So that only gets you halfway there. It'd have to be somebody else, and I don't know who that is.
I mean, they could beg Vancouver to take half his salary, but why would Vancouver do that?
I don't know. Other than, I don't know if Besser's got a no trade clause. Does he have no move? I don't think he would at that age.
24. There's no way he's got a no move already.
Yeah. I don't know. I'd have to look into it deeper, and nobody was saying, but
I mean, the other
there'd have to be a second.
The other thing is, we can talk all day about, well, they could get rid of Greenway, but why would Vancouver want Greenway? The Wild have a million other prospects, but at least what they've said so far is they don't want to give any of these guys up. So I mean,
a guy with a 2-year contract, it's not a 5-year contract. It's two.
That's right.
So it seems like they should be building for 3 years from now. When they're out of salary cap jail, right? It feels like every move they make, so long as it doesn't really damage them three seasons from now,
right,
then it seems to be an okay move. But like being the broker that they talk about right now, where they're trading salary cap space in order to acquire picks, that makes a ton of sense.
Yeah,
at least to me, because again, that's building towards three seasons from now. But trading a prospect for a guy who won't even be under contract 3 seasons from now seems to be an odd move.
Well, let me ask you this. So let's say Vancouver said, all right, we'll trade you Besser, we'll take Greenway back, but we want Jesper Wallstedt in the deal. That's for Brandon, that's the Wild goaltender at AHL in can't speak.
In Iowa.
Wild's goaltender in Iowa, in the AHL. Top prospect goalie, which is pretty rare, I'm given to understand. They usually don't rate goalies like that, the young goalies that are 18, 19, 20 as top prospects, but he's the Wild's top prospect, their goaltending prospect, and their goal seems to be to just sort of leave him at Iowa as long as they can.
What would I say to that offer?
Yeah.
I would tell Vancouver to go fuck themselves, and I wouldn't stop there. I'm trying to think of somebody famous.
Something worse than that.
Somebody famous from Vancouver. I would send them
Justin Morneau,
Ryan Reynolds' head in a box.
Seth Rogen.
Both of their heads in a box. Yeah. As a message to not ever ask again.
All right. Well,
Brock,
I mean,
Besser for Wallstedt. No. Maybe. And
they get rid of Greenway. I mean, I'm spitballing here because Vancouver's goalies are terrible. But I don't think there's any way the Wild do that deal, but that has to be the kind of thing that they're asking for at this point, don't you think?
I would want their best guy, that Pettersson, back, and I'm still sending them Ryan Reynolds' head. I think that might be the best idea I've had in.
That's pretty good. Too many commercials. Sorry.
Cricket, yeah. Nobody's going to do it.
I'm guessing, I know you haven't, Chicken, but Brandon, I'm guessing you also have not been watching the show about Ryan Reynolds owning the soccer team in Wales.
Oh, I watched a couple episodes of it. I haven't gone through it yet. I was mildly charmed for a little while, and then I couldn't quite make it from there.
He seems like somebody that you would like.
Yeah.
I like Ryan Reynolds. Yeah.
I have nothing against him.
He's a little he's a little smirky for me. And I know that I am obviously very smirky, but I do enough of that in my own life to, I can kind of see how that can grate on people. So I see a little bit of that.
It doesn't grate on me. I don't know. I don't think you're smirky.
Oh, okay. Thank you. That's good. I appreciate that. I was hoping one of you would say that. Thanks for picking up the signal. Yeah, I just, yeah, it's good. It's not, I don't know. Have you, how much of it have you watched, John? It obviously is right up your alley.
Well, true. I watched 3 or 4 episodes one night. My wife and I sat down and watched it for some reason. But the thing that I think is funny about it now is that apparently people have been, American viewers have been tweeting at and possibly contacting in other ways the BBC to ask them to stop publishing Wrexham scores because they haven't got to that point in the show yet. And they don't want to spoil it.
Well, it's actually news. You know, there's been a couple episodes or like portions of episodes where like it's become a little bit too much about Ryan Reynolds and Rob McElhenney. And it's like, all right, I'm not watching this for you two. I'm watching it for the soccer. But then I realize they probably are like, oh yeah, nobody actually is watching this for the soccer. So we're the Trojan horse here.
It's a tough balance to strike because on the one hand, you look at the owners and you go, I really don't want to watch a show about soccer owners, especially two guys who, at least at the start of the show, were hardly involved other than owning the team.
Yeah.
But at the same time, if you take them out of the show, it's a show about a fifth division soccer team.
It's really fucking boring. Yeah. Yeah. You got to have them.
As much as I more than anyone appreciate lower division soccer, but man, that's a tough watch.
Yeah, I think you're right. I should go back and give it a fair shake.
Yeah, I didn't make it very far either, but
hey, it's got to be the only thing on the planet that you've actually made it further TV wise.
Yeah, I mean, there's some sports documentary series that also are in that category, but not much. True.
Yeah,
not true. Very much.
Okay, can we move on from hockey?
Sure.
Yep, and Ryan Reynolds.
Chicken, you can take quick 10-minute.
Yep. 10-minute. I know where
break.
You're going.
Yep.
I wish the video was on so I could actually see Chicken just leaving.
Scurrying
right
away.
Now.
Just there's a smoke outline of where his body used to be. And his chair is runner. Like his chair is comically spinning around in a circle. Just a puff of smoke. John, I want to talk about the Wolves very quickly. Your rest of the
all right,
season.
Let's do it.
Kind of outlook. My first question, so they are, I'm not going to look up the exact statistics right now because nobody needs or expects that from me, but they've kind of settled in over the last month or so to be teetering somewhere between the 4 seed and the 11 seed, depending on not only the day, but literally the time of day. They have been middle of games, a 5 seed, and then lost the game and were a 9 seed. And that's happened repeatedly. So it's been kind of a wild ride. There's maybe a team or two that's going to drop out and start to look to next season. And I say this knowing full well exactly what's going to happen. It seems very difficult, near impossible for them to completely fall out of a play-in game. It also seems pretty near impossible to go up to maybe the 4 seed because there's a couple teams that are going for it. So right now it looks like most likely, most reasonable estimates would be somewhere between a 5 seed and a 9 seed. Knowing all, and that, you know, obviously now that relies on playing games, just like we went through last year. My question to you is what of the outcomes that could happen, what is the line for you where what's disappointment and what is success?
I mean, one of the weird things about the Wolves is they just finished the All-Star break. So you sort of think of that as, well, it's All-Star break. So they've sort of been coming together, but now they really got to get ready for the second half of the season, except there's like 15 games left in the season.
They're three quarters of the way through the season. Yes, there's 20 games left, or maybe not even that.
It's just, it's very strange that they just passed the trade deadline and now they got to figure out how to bring this new team together. And instead the season's almost over. So they really don't have much room. It's just, it's a very strange team because our good friend Mike Rand called them deeply unserious as a team. And that really has been the most true thing about them, that every time they do something good, like they beat Dallas with Luka and Kyrie going off, and then the next day they come back and blow a 20-point lead to the Wizards. And the Wizards are terrible. Stung.
No, the Wizards are fine, but I see what you're saying. Here's my counter to that. Most of the league is deeply unserious if you're talking about blowing leads. The league is now really deep, and there's very few awful teams. Even 5-10 years ago, there were 8 teams that were just blatantly tanking and were terrible. The depth of the quality nowadays, even these past 5 years, is just unbelievable. Like, the Wizards are a laughable team who are like over 500 for most of the season. And they've got Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis and Kyle Kuzma and like 4 other guys who are fine. So it's like very confusing season, and it makes a lot of sense why they blow these very unbelievably frustrating leads, which we remember, but then they come back a bunch of times and we forget that. So it's just been a very emotionally roller coaster ride so far of a year. And I don't really know where they stand on that.
To answer your question, I think I would be disappointed if they were in the play-in game again. That would be disappointing to me, given that they traded the future of the franchise for Gobert, and given that they then doubled down on it by getting rid of D'Lo and picking up Mike Conley. They have taken the actions of a team that believes it's in it to win things now. So if they're going to trade away everybody, and if they're going to do all these things, finishing in the play-in would be right where they finished last year, would be, it just wouldn't feel, it wouldn't be a step forward. And they've done enough things that not taking any sort of step forward would be a disappointment.
What if they win their play-in game and they get to the playoffs like last year? That's still bad to you?
Yeah, that's still disappointing. And the chance of I don't know. I feel like if the Timberwolves were in the play-in tournament again, they would definitely lose both games and part of Target Center would collapse or whatever.
I agree with you in some ways, but not having Towns, I think, is just such a huge factor that it's hard to know exactly what to make of a season when, I mean, I know that Gobert's supposedly has been objectively speaking, very good for a number of years, and Ant's the all-star. It's still, I'm not alone in saying that Cat is a pretty frustrating guy to root for, but he's still the best player on the team. So, I don't know.
I'm not sure that Ant isn't the best player on the team now, but I get what you're saying. But
it's his team.
It's not like if they had gone 17-3 in their first 20 games before Cat got hurt, I would probably feel differently, and it would be more like. Well, you got to give him a break. Cat was hurt, and you got to adjust for the degree of difficulty to play without Cat. But they were the exact same. It feels like they were the exact same team with Cat and without Cat.
I think they were worse with Cat. They sucked.
They were really frustrating, and now they win more, but they're still really frustrating a lot of the time.
It's been a frustrating season for sure. That does remind me of, I think it was the Tibbs season actually. Or maybe it was one of the Adelman seasons, where they were really good at getting out to early leads, and then they would cough up half of them. You're like, God, how can you be so good to be up by 20 constantly and still not somehow figure out how to close games? And so I'm getting a little deja vu vibes. So let me ask you, John.
It was funny the other night they blew that lead to the Wizards, and it was like, man, I can't understand how they blew this lead. And I read the stories and they were all like, Naz Reid did not have a good game. And my reaction was not like, oh man, I can understand that. It was like, you keep Naz Reid's out of your mouth.
Don't you name dare out of your say mouth. That. You name jerks, anybody else.
Kill the animals.
I know.
Blame Jalen Noel.
Just Noel sucks. Nice. Austin Rivers kind of sucks. Naz is hit or miss, but I love him to death. Mm-hmm. Yeah, their bench isn't quite good enough, I don't think, right now. They could really use Cat.
Austin Rivers is out there charging the other team's bench and getting in fights.
Yeah, that was fantastic. The other team traded that guy immediately too, by the way.
Did they really?
Yeah, like 3 days later, like, fuck that. I don't even know what he said. That's like, to me, I'm never going to be able to have a good night's sleep until I realize what exactly he said to make a, you know, the guy that said it was like 23 and Austin Rivers is like 35. They don't know each other. Like, what makes a guy, a 35-year-old veteran in the league, like charge the bench and start throwing haymakers? What could have been said? They talk shit all the time. Anyway, it's Ant's team, obviously. The dude's an absolute stud. The numbers don't bear out that he's the best player just because he's still, you know, he misses some shots. He's got some turnovers, stuff that's going to be cleaned up pretty easily, and he's going to be very incredible very soon. So, John, let me ask you, let's play. I'm not going to ask you to play someone's mom today.
All right.
I might at some point, but not right now.
You are going to be Anthony Edwards' uncle.
Why don't you play GM? Are you trading Cat this summer?
I don't want to.
Okay.
But it's weird. It feels like. Yeah.
Yeah. There he is.
The answer probably is yes. I do feel like they're going to trade him when they're eligible to trade him. But it feels weird because they started out with, they had Cat. Mm-hmm. And he was amazing, and he's an amazing offensive player, but he's got some deficiency in his game on the defensive end and rebounding. So they get Gobert, who is there to replace the defense and rebounding the Cat can't bring, except it turns out that you put them out there together and it causes a whole number of other problems, mm-hmm. including you got to get rid of D'Lo to bring in Mike Conley to work with Gobert. And suddenly, in trying to support Cat, the best player on the team, and shore up his weaknesses, you suddenly have made a team that has no room left for Cat on it. It's just this odd series of dominoes that are falling to go from the start of the season where everyone was like, well, Ant and Cat, it is Cat's team, and Ant is coming into his own, but this is still Karl Anthony Towns' squad, and he's going to have to figure this out. To a couple of months later, everybody's going, well, you know, Cat's not back, but they might be better without their best player and the face of the franchise. Mm-hmm. It's, I don't know. It's a very strange world we're living in.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a tricky one because you can see they haven't had enough time to figure out if both those guys. I think we all have a pretty good sense that it's not going to work with Cat and Gobert out there together for against most mm-hmm. teams. It's all matchup based in the playoffs. You never know. But it hasn't looked good so far. And so leaving the door open a little bit for them being able to figure that out, it feels like the only card you can play is trading Cat if you think this is Edwards' team. Right. I mean, obviously you'd want to trade Gobert, but I just don't know if that's going to happen.
Do you think Utah would be willing to trade?
You know, they could use a guy like Gobert, like a veteran presence. Yeah, maybe I'd call him. No, fuck. Yeah, he's also been good, which is kind of, well, I don't know. He just like sucks to watch.
Can the Wolves use their first round draft pick this spring to replace?
Yeah, they got some draft capital they can use to sort of reshape the team.
Well, not this year, but maybe maybe the following year, the year after that. No, they are fucked.
Didn't there used to be the Ted Stepien rule where you couldn't trade your pick 2 years in a row?
No, there is. They actually traded like every other year, but then the way they get around it is now you can do pick swaps.
Oh, interesting. So like the Lakers don't have a first round pick until 2047 or something like that, right?
Because of pick swaps, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they might if they're depending on where the picks land or whatever. They could end up with but they just don't like, they don't have the ability to use it in a trade because it's kind of like spoken for or whatever. So, I just don't know what you, I would love a sodium pentothal conversation with Tim Connolly, the GM, to figure out. Like, I have two beers and can talk myself into like I'm able to understand why they were able to talk themselves into Gobert. I still, you know, I was not a huge fan of it, but I can see like the outside.
You were a fan.
I was a fan of the windows closing early we assume that we're going to have Ant for 10 years, but we might not. The YOLO, let's just do it and be legends idea of making a trade like that. Mm-hmm. I just still don't understand why you did another big. But then again, like, I understand when Cat is like a really good shooter, but can't defend, can't rim protect, and can't rebound. They're like, oh, well, shit, this is the best rebounder rim protector in the NBA. Let's just get that guy. Like, so I can see talking yourselves summer. Into it.
I don't remember, but maybe July or whatever it was. When did you talk yourself out of it? What month would you say when you convinced yourself? Was it October? Was it December?
Yeah, was it yesterday? Man. No, it was probably like the thing I always came back to was, I think Chris Finch is a really smart guy. I know that he's on record for having been like supportive of this trade. And he's always been a very clever, like, lineup guy. So I was like, hey, man, if that guy, like, he's obviously way smarter than me, if he's into it, I want to see this happen. So I think I was like on board. And then after those first like 15 games or whatever, I was like, ugh, the people who said this can't work look smarter than me right now and smarter than Finch. And so I'm just sort of like, if I was like a 7 out of 10 on the trade when it happened, I'm now like a 4 or 5 at it. Like, I'm not freaking out about it. And I don't actually care about if all those picks end up being like the 19th pick and the 26th pick and whatever else, like, I don't actually care.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I just wish they would have gone all in on... I just want to have somebody that is perfect with Ant, and that's not who you want for Ant. But Ant wasn't necessarily like, he made a huge leap this year and he's now very obviously the face of the franchise. And I wonder if maybe last year he just was so young that they weren't like, oh, let's call this guy into the office and get his take on who he needs to be surrounded with. Like, he's 20 years old, you know? Whereas I bet now if they talk to him, it would be like, yeah, I don't want anybody in the paint. I want to be dunking on dudes. And I'm actually not good at it when there's a guy there. I don't really know how to do pick and rolls. I'm not good at those things. And so, I don't know. It hasn't played out like, obviously, you would have expected, but it's not been such a weird disaster. It's just kind of a confusing place, I think, as a team. Because he's been fine. He's been good. But you can't immediately trade him either. I think he's lost trade value. So, not sure what to do. It's a real pickle.
Well, a Cat trade would bring back that capital and clear the way for Ant to be the guy.
Yep.
In town.
Yeah, the one thing that someone, I don't know who it was that said a long time ago was, you know, you have a guy like Ant who just likes driving, and that's like half of his game. That's why Cat is so good next to him, because Cat can stand outside on the perimeter and you have to stay out there because otherwise he'll just drain threes. And so if you trade him, you're just going to be looking for a big who can shoot as well as Cat. It's like, all right, I get it. But again, like, you have two bigs and you're paying them a shitload of money. And if you're saying it didn't work with Cat, I agree with you. We watched it. It was, the defense was tough. I just don't think it works with Gobert either. Ant's not a pick and roll guy. Gobert is, like, I don't know. It's two different styles of basketball. So
why can't Cat play defense?
I think his defensive IQ is low and he's slow. He can't jump. Gobert's the opposite. Like, super springy, can jump and block shots, and is like a very quick IQ and high IQ guy. But then the exact opposite is true on the other side. And it's actually bared out like in every single statistic. Like Cat is very bad defensively and is unbelievably offensively. Gobert is the exact opposite. And when you put them both together, it kind of is just like, eh. You know, they can't like if cover up for each other.
How is it possible that Cat is that good offensively if he is slow and can't jump and has a low basketball IQ?
Because he's can drain threes like crazy. He's athletic but slow. And I think just some guys you need like, I don't know, their reaction is different defensively and offensively. I mean, it's true for like a ton of NBA guys that just makes absolutely no sense to me. Some guys are unbelievable offensively and just are so bad defensively. I truly do not understand like how one guy has it and one guy doesn't. I don't, it's a mystery. But Towns will never be great defensively. He's just too slow-footed and can't jump high enough. And you just don't need that as much on offense if you're able to drain threes like crazy. Like, he's an unbelievable shooter. Like, better than most guards. The vast majority of guards, he's a better shooter than. So, I don't know. A little clunky to watch, too. So, John, you wouldn't be picking up the phone to trade him, but you'd be taking some phone calls?
Yeah, I mean, this is always affected by, I don't want to trade Cat. I like Cat and I want to see him, I want to see it work. For all of these Timberwolves guys, their flaws make them more endearing to me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I want to see him work through this and I want to see him get back. I want to see Cat somehow learn how to play defense when he's out hurt. I don't know how that would work, but it would be amazing if he came back and he was blocking shots and doing smart things around the rim and that kind of thing. I just, I want it to work. And I've said this about the Timberwolves for years. Everybody they have, it's like, I want this to work for this guy. I want Jared Vanderbilt to be awesome, even though he wears down because he's 7 feet tall and 143 pounds. I want even though D'Lo's got the moves of a guy playing at noon at the YMCA and doesn't pay any attention on defense, I want things to work. And it's the same with Cat. I want this to work and I want him to succeed. I don't know. Is it going to happen? This is why I'm not in charge of the Timberwolves, right. And many other reasons, is that I can't be objective about these things.
Yep.
In some ways, it's almost better that they brought in somebody new who hasn't been here for years with Cat and gotten attached to him.
Yeah, yeah. Do you miss D'Lo?
I mean, I'm sad that it didn't end up working out.
And he's like 9 years younger than Conley. Like, I like Conley, but then again, he just has a game where he made like 2 points. I'm like, okay, yeah. Well,
yep,
not great.
I mean, I think Conley's fine, but at the same time, you look and go, is Conley a lot better than Jordan McLaughlin? Or maybe a little bit better than Jordan McLaughlin.
Right. Two tiny, tiny guys who don't score much.
Yeah.
And it just also is like, okay, well, that's a huge thing Tim Connelly needs to figure out. Like, who's your point guard going to be around Ant? And they don't have a whole lot of ways to go find somebody. I don't get it, man.
It's not like this is 1982 and you absolutely need somebody to be your ball handler, bringing the ball up the court, throwing behind the back passes like Bob Cousy or whatever.
Right.
When they finally figured out after a few games of trying to D'Lo be that guy, we're going to have Ant bring the ball up. We're going to have Kyle Anderson somehow bring the ball up. It doesn't have to be D'Lo. He can just play wherever. They don't need somebody who's got to have the ball in their hands and start the pick and roll action every play.
Right. Yeah, that's true.
If it works with Conley and Gobert, great. But they don't necessarily need to sit down and be like, all right, we need to figure out who's our point guard of the future here.
Yeah. So, yeah, you're right.
And it doesn't matter anyway, because apparently whoever is getting paid all this money, whether it's D'Lo or whether it's Conley, apparently they can't get rid of them because otherwise they lose it. So,
yep, true.
They gotta have somebody making all that money just so they Do they have to trade Conley halfway through next year to get another extension in that? I don't
just
know.
Just keep
this
it
works.
Going. Yep. Yep. They'll get Kyle Lowry next year.
Okay.
Whoever's 36 and a point guard. We'll get Pat Bev back again one of these years, 4 or 5 years.
I heard Pat Bev's not coming back. There was some chance that Pat Bev was going to come back, and apparently that's not happening now.
Nope. Chicago.
All right. Well, good for Pat Bev.
Good for Pat Bev. Do you want to move on?
I think it would be good for everybody.
Okay. I'm not sure where to go next.
We're getting down there. Should we do Stu's Top 6?
Yeah, go for it.
All right. So Stu's not here because he's in Phoenix. And I think it's fair to note that Stu was at some kind of dining and drinking establishment tonight. And
they
that's all
a
I'll
bar
say about that.
Down in Phoenix.
Yeah. I don't think they have bars in Phoenix. They're called dining and drinking establishments down there.
Sorry.
And so he sent us from where he was at. He didn't email us. He just sent us a text that has the top six for this week. So here is Stu's top six for the week. This is the top six numbers between 1 and 6. Are you ready?
Yep.
Number six is 5. Uh-huh. Number 5 is 2.
Mm-hmm.
Number 4 is 6.
Yeah.
Number 3 is 4.
Mm-hmm.
Number 2, the number 2 number between 1 and 6 is 1.
Yep.
And the number 1 number between 1 and 6, 3.
Number mm-hmm. 1 is 3. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
No big surprises.
No, nah. it's all chalk is the word that comes to mind.
You guys think 6 is a little overrated in that one? Just
6 could be lower
out there.
You could swap 2 and 6.
I don't know. I'm
surprised 4 was as low as it was, to be honest with you.
I think 6
gets away with a lot, that it's the highest of the 6.
Yeah, I know. And what does that do for us? I mean, I kind of think 5 is better than 6.
Ooh, that's a hot take.
I don't know. I mean, 5's right down the middle. You know, it's a load-bearing number, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
It's got a lot on its shoulders.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's a milestone number.
Agree.
You know, it's you turn 35, that's an occasion. You turn 36, mm-hmm. get the fuck out of here. I don't
Nobody
care.
Cares. Nobody cares.
What? Why are you asking me to send you a congratulatory text when you turn 36? No one gives a shit. Yeah, 45?
No,
yeah, that's no, back. You're back. And
there's
I
no
care.
Cards at the Hallmark store for 36.
No, God. I'm sure they tried 35. Them. I'm sure they tested them in certain markets and, you know, little A-B testing and figured out, no, it's not. We're not making those cards anymore. It was a waste of money, waste of paper. So, I don't know. He's been drinking. I also remember that he said he was 6 beers deep when he sent it. So I wonder if maybe 6 was kind of in his craw there for for a couple reasons. So,
sure.
Yeah, it's a good list, though.
This is the most confusing thing we've done since we tried to determine how many beers the takeout beer is. And we said it's 1 and no, it's 10. It's 10. The takeout beer is 10 beers,
but 10 beers is like
one takeout beer.
Right. 10 takeout
the transitive property
is 1 takeout beer.
Right.
Speaking of that, and speaking of our friend Stu, do you guys remember years ago, back in, oh, I don't know, 2018, we did the 64 beer countdown.
Mm-hmm.
We sure did.
This motherfucker Stu goes to the airport. I don't know if you saw this, making content. And he goes, oh, I just wanted to say, like, the pre-vacation airport beer is like a top 10 beer or some shit. I don't know what exactly he said, but it's something like that, you know, in his Stu language. And he says it as if it wasn't a number one seed in our own fucking rankings a few years ago. It was a number one seed. It made it to like the final four. It's an incredible beer. Everybody knows this.
Yep.
You don't get to come here in 2023 and start pointing out, hey, I just decided this is a top beer. We invented the beers. We're the beer guys.
Yep.
That's fucking bullshit. Do you guys remember what won?
The cabin? Just got to the cabin beer.
Just got to the cabin beer. Yeah. I think that's Chicken's influence. I think he stacked the deck.
I did. It was, I fortified the vote.
You had your cronies come in and vote. I had a couple. I look back on it now. And there were some that were very clearly, I stacked the deck myself in the rankings. Like I did like winning the adult sports league as a 2 seed. Most people are like, what the fuck? What are you talking about? Huh?
My favorite memory of the whole tournament was when the small town wedding dance you weren't invited to beer.
Yeah.
Upset the post exercise shower beer.
I was just going to
call everybody else hazy.
Just going to say, I was so mad. I was so upset. That was a 2 seed, like a 15 or something. It was just a Cinderella story. I was just, fuck everybody. This is bullshit. Oh, man. Anyway, I miss you, Stu, but that's. Don't come, Johnny, come lately with us. Okay, so that's another thing I wanted to mention. I have one other thing, and then we can, John, if you've got other quick hitters. I got a question for Chicken here. I've got a momentous occasion in dad life happening in, let's say, 40 hours or so, heading for my first out-of-town sports tournament.
Oh, sure. All right. Yeah. This is, yes. All right.
So, Rochester, Minnesota.
Okay.
Fifth grade basketball
tournament. You're stabbing chickens on the way.
No, you're not invited.
No, I thought that there was a beer in the garage.
No, stay up. There is. You help yourself.
You can look at it from binoculars off my property.
No, you cannot do that. No, you're insane.
Telescope?
No.
Can I pull up your address on Google Earth?
Chinese spy balloon? No.
That's a no for all of it. Heading down to Rochester. We're going down there Friday evening. We've got games, 2 games on Saturday, 2 games on Sunday, a fair amount of hours in between both those games. We got somewhat screwed with a schedule. We go 9-3 on Saturday, and then 9-1:30 on Sunday. So
Saturday is okay. Got it. Okay.
Yep. So we got a lot of hours to kill in between. And I just would love your esteemed advice. Really specifically, how hard do you go?
Eastern European underground porn hard.
Oh, wow. Okay. Some shit that like you don't even in the middle of it, you regret kind of press and play.
I've never regretted a damn thing I've done in out of town sports, youth sports tournament. And I can tell you some things that have happened that I should. I don't.
This is just, it's like being on the high seas. There's just no laws.
International waters. Yeah. Okay, so a few things. Yep. So alcohol is the key, and you need to be proactive in this. Don't wait for others and see what they bring. Don't come in soft. I would go in hard if this is your first one.
Yep.
A few different things. Variety is key. I wouldn't just have like a bottle of whiskey and a case of Coors Light. No, you won't. I know you won't do that. It would be like you would do a six pack of Day Tripper and like a bottle of rosé or I don't know what the fuck you bring, but don't, that's not enough.
Yeah.
It's fine if you bring those things.
So, okay. So just in case whoever comes into the room when we're partying, has got an outlet. I got some peanut butter whiskey, some Fireball, some lights, some heavies.
Yeah.
Peanut butter whiskey?
No.
Oh, yeah. PB Dubs. You're not into this? It's a thing.
I would. No.
Next level Fireball.
I'd bring a deck of cards, I think would be important.
Yep. Euchre.
And I'll tell you a couple different things. People love the Fireball Bucket.
Hmm.
Fireball Bucket it's exactly as it sounds, but it's those individual shooters filled with, like, I think there's like 50 in the bucket.
Okay? Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
So then it becomes part of the card game. You know, okay, if you lose or whatever, then you take a shot.
Yeah. Easy, disposable. You throw them around the room. It's kind of fun.
Exactly right. And, you know, you don't know where everybody lives on the COVID scale, right? On that kind of, when I say the COVID scale, do you know what I mean? Like like passing a bottle around, people may not be comfortable with with that. And some people won't care, but some will.
But so now you just have your own, and you can stack them up.
To everybody, the entire spectrum on that scale.
Yeah. It's crowd pleasing.
I mean, for the longest time, one of the major ways that COVID was transmitted was by passing a bottle of Fireball around.
Yeah. You think the alcohol would kill the germs? That's a myth.
The one little, I guess it's not a, one thing I've found is that the key, if you really want it to be memorable, the key will be the moms, not the dads. Mm-hmm. If you can crack that code, and I don't mean this in a dirty way, I just mean it in a, if you can get them going and have them start drinking, it will be a memorable evening.
Eating out of your hand.
If you can't, then it's unlikely. I mean, you'll have a few and have some fun, and then, and everybody have some fun, and then go to bed at 10.
Yeah.
The moms on an out-of-town tournament drive the ship.
Yep. I'm good with
the
moms.
They go to bed early.
Got good moms here.
Dads will probably. So if you have been paying attention to maybe things they drink in the parking lot or what they've talked about, or if you just know.
Yeah.
You know, that they like.
Oh, yeah. I noticed you were into the sour beers. Did you order that the last? Here's one.
If you find a mom that's into sour beers. I don't know. You're up that what you like up there. People,
weird stuff.
That would be weird. But like the Topo Chico or the, I don't know what else.
Claws, the Trulies.
WCs.
Yeah, sure. The what have yous.
When I talk about that kind of variety, that's what I'm talking about, Brandon. Mm-hmm.
There's
I
no outs. I've got everything. What are you into? We've got it. I brought it with me. It's cold. Yeah, it's in my hand.
But here's what I got. And if you can rattle off eight things, they'll be like, something's going to pique their interest.
Yeah.
And now you got it. Now you got them. And now you just got to keep on it.
Okay. Now let me ask you, music. Important. Is it off-putting?
It's not important. I think if you can get it going a little bit, then it becomes important. But
maybe later in the evening.
You don't want it to be the focus of the evening. You want
You don't want to be alienating. You know, I've got too much Juice WRLD happening. And they're like, I don't know, man. I'm more of a Springsteen guy. Go fuck.
What the hell does it matter? What is this? And then if one mom gets drunk, then she's going to take it over. And then she's going to turn it up way too loud.
Oh, Jesus.
And then you're going to get kicked out.
When you walk by every night. It's like, I didn't want Mariah Carey. I was hoping for my own. Yeah.
That's exactly what will happen. It'll be Morgan Wallen, and she'll crank it, and you'll be out by 11 p.m.
Not that this has happened before.
The hotel manager will ask you to leave. And you'll
the hotel manager at the following hotel, the Alexandria, Minnesota Comfort Inn. Not very cool.
Oh, that's Dave. He's the worst. Okay, so let me ask you another question. Are you home games or away games?
I don't know what do you mean by that? Sorry.
Do you want to be hosting in your room, or do you like an away game at someone else's room? You're losing some control, but you can
neither.
Lobby
or don't do it at all. Lobby is by far the best option if you can get a party room. Like a conference room.
Yep. I think they're, we have one Saturday.
$50 a night. Everybody tosses in, or your team just pays for it. That's the ideal, because then you can close the door and they don't give a shit. Sucks. It gets too hot. You have to deal with other people's kids. It's miserable. Mm-hmm. The pool is the least desirable option. You will not enjoy yourself in the pool. It sucks.
Disgusting.
It's you're better off in the fucking parking lot than like right now out in the parking lot when there's a blizzard going on.
900 degrees in the pool. The labels from the beer will peel themselves.
There's some jerk-off's little fucking brat hits you with a Nerf football every 3 seconds.
A couple cannonballs. A kid drowns.
Even though it's
just
10:45 at night. There's still a 4-year-old in the pool for some reason.
Yep. Just boogers.
Parents have been gone for hours. Yeah. Parents are at the casino.
I'd say lobby, party room, conference room. Those are the ideals. That's what you're really shooting for.
Now, should I feel any... I'm the treasurer of the board. I don't know if I've told you guys this. Should I feel any nerves that I'm a I'm a man of power,
You have no power.
No.
No. None. If you actually do have any power, they will alienate it. They will find they will get you buzzed, and then they're gonna start asking questions.
Where's the checkbook?
Something. It's gonna be, hey, if my kid doesn't make, I don't know what you have, AAA next year, I'm telling everybody about what you did this weekend.
Oh boy.
Okay. Yeah, just be careful.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason to be the treasurer is if you want to get arrested for embezzlement later life.
If there's you're bilking. Something's going on.
Yeah, yeah.
There's never been a news story about a youth sports treasurer that hasn't ended in embezzlement and divorce.
See, it says here that you bought a T-shirt for 40 kids and it cost you $75,000. How did there no kickbacks at all there? Huh? No. Premium materials, high quality polyester. Okay, so my other question is, so my kid's in fifth grade, and this is a tournament for our entire town's fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth graders. Mm-hmm. So I've got three ages of kids who've been there before. They're able to act like they've been there before, and I'm kind of a newcomer. How is this like the first day in prison sort of vibe where I get to come in and...
No,
and really just set the stage, or do I find, what's the strat there?
You're going to pick out the biggest eighth grader and fight him?
No, Brandon, I don't know the dynamics of your organization. I suspect there will be a linchpin that will have a kid in multiple grades if he's going to unite the clans, it'll be a person like that.
Yeah, the kind of the party guy, or do you want to sidle up to him, or do you...
Not necessarily the party guy. It'll be the guy that has a fifth grader and a seventh grader, and then he says, you know what, why don't we all sit together? And now all you people that don't necessarily know each other, now we'll all be drinking together. Or that person doesn't exist, and you will all be middle school lunchroom, kind of moons orbiting.
Right.
You're going to be separated.
Now, there's a couple.
So that may happen, or people will just start getting so drunk that eventually you'll all commingle.
Mm-hmm. You find each other.
What I also suspect is that you will not be the only city, the only school district there.
No, it's a huge tournament.
Yeah, so there's going to be Maple Grove, human pieces of shit.
This fuckers.
Woodbury.
Yeah. Oh, God. Eastridge.
Yeah,
yourselves. Mountsview. Okay. Yeah. Right. Sure.
They're going to be just as drunk as you, and they may start to spill into your area. You may spill into theirs. There's going to be the mom that's just loud and says, "Well, where are you from?" And then
Blaine, and we go, "Oh fuck, we got to hang out with Blaine people." Jesus Christ,
65. Good Lord, how do you live in the north?
Nightmare. I'm going to sprint if we get near Blaine people.
It could be great. No, it could be fun. It's really, you just really don't know what you're going to get. It's
I'm judging. Yeah.
It's a single date. It's speed dating.
Mm-hmm.
But I would, again, I always, if you're going to make a mistake, make an aggressive mistake. So bring a whole bunch of booze.
Yeah.
Enjoy yourself. Be the guy that kind of sets the tone if it's kind of quiet.
Yeah, I can do that. Now, you guys hope you show up at this
with like three cases of beer, and everybody else on your team, all their parents are like briefcases and laptops and, oh no, I got to get some work done today.
All their exercise equipment, bands, dumbbells and shit.
Under each arm, and they're all just standing there doing yoga.
I'll tell you, I've evolved to the backpack cooler. That's a
that's so convenient.
He carries about an 18 pack plus ice, pockets for a koozie, for shots, for a bottle opener, for
Jesus.
Opener. Then you can just be the guy that's got everything, right?
Yeah, you're the guy.
It's easy to carry. A cooler can be sometimes, a regular cooler can be bulky, kind of clunky. Backpack, a little bit easier to navigate.
Fuck, that's a great idea. Now, I was going to say my number one.
I want to say.
Go ahead.
Oh, Brandon's back.
What happened? I'm here.
I don't know. We
it
lost
was you.
It was I was going to start. Chicken finished his. He finishes the description of the backpack cooler that has everything. The Boy Scout.
Oh, I was so locked in on that. Fuck, that's a great idea.
And then I was just going to say this. When I was a kid, I went to a lot of basketball tournaments. You know, this is like the early 1990s. There are no cell phones. And I was just sitting here feeling terrible for my dad, who had to drive us to these tournaments in Wheaton and Redwood Falls and Marshall and all these Western Minnesota. There's no good place to go in Marshall and Redwood Falls or wherever. He's got to drive 2.5 hours in the middle of the winter. And when you get there, it's 2 days of basketball games. And what do you have? There's no cell phones. You can't just sit there and scroll through Facebook or something. There's nothing to do. He had to sit in a gym in Wheaton, Minnesota from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. or whatever, doing nothing, like reading the paper for 12 consecutive hours, except when, you know, when Ortonville's playing a basketball game. How did he live through that?
The paper came out once a day. He had read the entire thing by like probably 10:30 in the morning.
I was a fifth grader or whatever, so I wasn't really paying attention. But did he just save up like 2 weeks worth of newspapers and just bring them all with and be like,
hey, is that the newsboy? No, it's somebody's dad.
Just dragging a whole thing of newspapers behind him so he has something to do for 49 hours over a weekend in a basketball gym. Man.
Oh, Jesus.
Sainthood.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not like that anymore. I can't speak for other dads, but I'm looking forward to it for my kid's behalf, obviously. But I'm just as excited as probably he is. Like, I can't wait to get down there. Pound a bunch of beers.
Yeah,
it's going to be good.
It's, you will see some things from some people that you didn't expect.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm kind of trying to steel myself of, like, how crazy is this? Because I've heard some stories, you know, shit goes down.
I've seen,
you know,
some things.
It's one thing that I've experienced as, and John, I don't know if you're there yet, but you will be soon, of like, when you start to make new friends of your kids' parents, every single social norm or interaction or thing you remember from when you were in high school immediately comes back to you.
Oh my gosh.
There's the class clown. There's the guy who's trying too hard.
Yep.
There's the
can
guy
I be
who's
excused.
No, it's just, I mean, maybe. I think you can now, but if you don't want, there's for sure people in our community who are like, I'm dropping my kid off, I'm going home, I'm coming back to pick him up, and I want no part of this. Mm-hmm. But if you're like super involved, like my kids are, they're obviously right in the middle of it. They're 11 and 8, so they're in the heart of their sports lives, and they play three sports. So they each are just constantly involved. So we are at, you know, very similar to Chicken, your life. We're just around. It's hard to like completely avoid it.
Sure.
And so if you are, I mean, we're social people, so we like making friends. But man, it's crazy to just like be 40 years old and being like, oh, did this person text you? Did they want to get drinks after the game? Because we weren't sure if we were friends with them because the other neighbors had a falling out with them. And I'm not sure. What if we go with you guys, what if we go to the same place? And I mean, there's that actual shit that happens as full grown up. So
I'm legitimately near tears right now. I can't do this over again.
Yeah. And half of it is we bring it on ourselves. Cause again, like I was saying, like we're social and our kids are social and all that, but it's pretty wild to me how these like similar dynamics pop back up again in your middle ages, depending on your social circle. We haven't had drama like that, but we've seen it and it's close to home.
Oh, there's consistent drama there. And there is a mom on one of the teams just because of these out of town tournaments. I have seen her boobs more than I've seen my own boobs.
Good for her.
Things like that. Like, yo.
Okay. Okay. Oh man. Yeah. Anyway, so where's the next tournament for you? Just kidding.
And who is she?
No, I might swing through. Yeah, no, I love whatever the sport is that you're a hockey, is it, or whatever. It doesn't fucking matter.
Oh, Grand Marais? Yeah, no, actually, I just happened to.
Oh, it's so funny, dude. I left my wallet in Grand Marais last week, and I had to head back up there anyway. So, yeah, I'll be there. You keep on, I'll be there. Sorry. Yeah, okay, good. This is very good advice. I really appreciate it. And I'll give you a full report.
I can't wait. I can't wait.
Yeah. I have decided I'm going to be setting an alarm on my phone at midnight, which means stop drinking.
Nope.
And has not worked the first 10,000 times I've tried it. But we'll see if maybe this time, the 10,001th time is a charm. I do. I've done that in the past. And then I look at it at midnight. I'm like, fuck you. What? Who the fuck are you, man?
Ask Brandon.
I know. It's so funny. It's worth doing just to laugh at yourself if you're ever interested. Yep.
The funny thing, I mean, my daughter is just old enough now that this summer we're going to sign her up for the first thing that's not like Parks and Rec.
Yes.
Parks and Rec, whatever. And now I'm approaching it with a certain fear. It's coming. I know it's coming.
Nothing to be scared of. It's going to be great.
It's fantastic, John. It's the best. I know I told you kids were fantastic, and then you yelled at me for years lying to you.
You said kids were fantastic, and then when your kids and my kids were very young, I reminded you, and you were like, no,
absolutely not. But legitimately, sports and coaching and all that is for sure the best thing ever.
Yeah.
Well, here's the funny part. So what we're going to sign my daughter up for, because one of her friend from kindergarten did this last year and wants to do it again this summer. And so now my daughter wants to do it with her friend. We're going to sign her up for lacrosse, which is like the one sport that I know absolutely nothing about.
So one sport, like play bandy.
Yeah. Like legitimately, I know more about bandy than I know about lacrosse. And so on the one hand, it's like, all right, this is a little strange. But on the other hand, ain't nobody roping me into coaching lacrosse. I'm not even totally sure of any of the rules.
I know the ball goes in the net.
Mm-hmm. I know the ball goes in the net, but that's it.
No,
I can guarantee, John, you'd be in the 95th percentile of coaches for lacrosse.
Guarantee it.
Yep.
We all grew up here in Minnesota. Nobody grew up in fucking upstate New York. So I bet you the rules in any game in Minnesota aren't 40% accurate. They're not even, nobody really truly knows what's going on.
Well, there's 9 people out there. Last week there were 4. Like, fuck, now, I don't know.
You know what? Fucking nerdy act. How about you, coach? You sound like you know everything.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's 9 people out there. Sure, idiot. Oh, and there's 2 nets and not just a half.
I legitimately don't know how many people are on a lacrosse team.
No. You would, John, you would watch 4 YouTube videos of like lacrosse drills, and you'd show up on the second practice and be the greatest lacrosse coach there ever was because you care. That's like, if you're a normal, nice person who is going to try, I'm telling you, that is the 98th percentile of coaches. Guys are either, or, yep. you know, coaches are either just kind of jerks or they don't know what they're doing and they don't care to learn. So if
all right,
you
kids,
ever feel
everybody that, grab your basket. I mean, your, what's the thing called?
Grab it's the basket, basket stick.
Cesta. No, that's Hialeah. Stick.
Grab the stick. Yeah, that's probably right.
Grab the stick.
No, you could figure it out. I think you should. I think you should try to endeavor to be a youth coach. Yeah. Yep.
Here we go. Are there certification classes through American lacrosse? USA lacrosse.
Just background checks. And even that's kind of like, eh.
Yeah, it's like, if you just email me that you have one, that's going to be fine. You go, I'm clean. I go, cool.
How many? It's not. I don't care about if you had a Dewey. How many?
Yeah, 40? Right.
Well.
That's well.
Whatever. Was it your like Jack last week?
It was?
Were kids with you?
It was today?
Oh, no, you're in.
His background check turned up one that was in the future at the time.
Texting me from the car. And there's a concussion test. It's simple. You can definitely pass it. That's all you got to do.
I have to take the concussion test?
You do.
No, it's like a how to diagnose a concussion.
Yeah, not, no, you can have a concussion. Gotcha. Yeah, don't even.
Not the protocol. You don't go in a tent and they're like, have you had a concussion?
You can have as many concussions like currently or in the past. Nobody gives a shit. You could piss your pants when a plane flies over the field. No one cares. You just have to know when other people, you can just be like, oh, yeah, no, I get concussions all the time. You definitely have one. That's like you pass the test.
All right.
You actually would be like the head of the concussions, probably.
It's not a job title you necessarily want. Yeah, he's a treasurer. He's the president. I'm the head of concussions.
Head of concussions. Why did he get that? He just has had so many. He's unbelievable at like spotting concussions now. Chicken, how enjoyable was coaching for you? Was it every sport was good, or was it kind of depending on the kids and the parents, or what was your experience? Or is your experience, I suppose?
No, I'm done.
You're fully out?
Pretty much, yeah. I don't have, I think I've got one just this spring coming up. And that'll be my very last season, but that's pretty, there's not a lot to that one. 95% good, 5% bad. I've been very, very lucky.
The 5% bad, was it kids were kind of tough to work with, or was it the parents were giving you guff?
Both instances, but again, very few and far between. I think the kids part was just kind of like, okay, some kids are assholes. It wasn't that miserable. Only had a couple kids that I'm just like, and probably coached, more than 1,000, and to have that kind of percentage, I think I was pretty lucky to only have a couple that just really drove me crazy. And really only a couple of parent instances, and really even those were not that bad. Mm-hmm. So
can we do an impromptu top six, Chicken's top six of best six ages to coach?
Ooh, impromptu.
Mm-hmm. This is gonna be tricky. You can go in regular order if you want to.
Yeah, no, I don't think I'm going to get six. I don't think it's going to be specific enough. I think it would be at the bottom end would be like, ages is so tough, Brandon, because it really depends on the type of team that you have. Like now, a 14-year-old's, but they have a really good attitude, like a fun team. That's awesome, right? Mm-hmm. Because they're good. Like the sport resembles how the sport actually should be played.
You drop a play and they do it and it works and they make the shot. Yeah,
that's exactly right. And it looks like relatively like what the sport kind of looks like rather than a 6-year-old's.
Right.
You just don't look anything like what you're really, what the sport should look like. That's pretty cool. But 14-year-olds who are just fuckers, that's really, really sucks.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So because they're teenagers and they just fuck you. Like they just really suck. I would say probably like preteens, can be pretty fun because they're on that edge of they're not assholes yet.
Yep.
But they're good enough athletes where they can make it the sport to, kind of fun to watch and to coach again on that it looks like it's supposed to.
Yeah, it's purposeful. It's not just like, we scored by accident somehow. I don't know exactly how it happened, but you know, yeah, right.
They understand the concepts of what you're trying to accomplish rather than at the young age, really, we just focus on skills rather than plays or structure. Mm-hmm. Really just trying to focus on, okay, do this and here's how you do it. And not so much, here is a play to run. Mm-hmm. Where at the older ages, you run a specific play. And I think that's kind of fun. So I'd say I wouldn't necessarily rank them. I would say kind of that preteen age is kind of the most fun.
Cool. Yeah. Well, it's going to be fun. John, you got to get in on this.
Well, it's coming.
Brandon, you're right. You're right on the edge of it. And I know your kids are pretty good athletes. So they're going to be on good teams. And they're right at that age where it really starts getting fun. And you're going to get to know these parents pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you have a good group.
Yeah.
With both of them. If it gets toxic, that can suck. We've been really lucky. We haven't really had that. But you hear horror stories from elsewhere.
Oh, God. Yeah. I've got some really eye-openers from a couple of the older kids where you're like, holy fucking, like, didn't you have lives outside? Like, what? Why on earth is there this much drama between, you know, you realize a lot of people don't, you know, this is kind of like their actual main social thing, which is kind of a bummer. But I know we've been super lucky with the 11-year-old. A few of the couples have become like some of our best pals. And you could just go out and get trashed with them at a dinner and have some heart to hearts and, you know, but don't need it. You know, don't necessarily need to be drunk either. So it's been good. And then the 8-year-old we're still kind of getting in the cusp for us, like in our community, like 9 is usually when they start doing the more serious traveling, that sort of stuff. Then you really get to know the parents a little bit more. So,
yeah.
So we'll more to come on if we can find any good pals there too. But
sure.
Good times, man. Really good times.
The one thing I can tell from all these stories is that in order to get prepared for this, I'm going to need to start drinking more.
I have not. Yeah, the group, this group we got this year for one of the kids. I have never drank more in my life, John. It's 6 days a week, and a lot.
It is incredible. Really, you realize how much the normal, like the person you didn't even know, some of these people can put back a prodigious amount of alcohol. Like it is incredible what some of these just folks in your community can put back.
The mailman,
they're just walking around
a 30 pack of bullets, just no problem,
and you wakes up the next day and your mail is there at 9 a.m
Yep.
You know, he doesn't miss a day. Nope. Fucking guy, clockwork. That's been an eye-opener for me. Doesn't go away. Okay, should we be done? We gotta be done here. Done. Yep. Oh, we're going to press stop. Love you. Goodbye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.